Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Salvador Perez hits home run number 46, surpasses Johnny Bench. Now holds the record for most home runs by a catcher in a single season. So congratulations to Salvi. He is tied with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for the home run lead at 46. They are two ahead of Otani. And then Salvi has a two RBI lead over Jose Abreu, 115 to 113 for the lead, for the major league lead in ribbies. And he could become the first catcher since Johnny Bench to lead the league in home runs and ribbies, Jamie Bluma.
Awesome. I had caught me off guard a little bit. I forgot that they started early yesterday because of the doubleheader. And so my phone alerted me early, like, oh, dang it. So I immediately flipped on the TV before I went to go do lessons and couldn't have been happier. I think we sat in here a couple weeks ago and we were kind of guessing at where he was going to be and cautiously optimistic that he was going to get to 46 or 48 is the next one up with 11 games to go. I like his chances. Couldn't be happier for him. I mean, the guy plays with such passion and just loves to be out there on the field and to put your name in the same hat as Johnny Bench. That's something else. It's a guy I watched growing up and an Oklahoma native from Binger, Oklahoma. Older brother actually got a chance to play on his high school field growing up field in Binger, Oklahoma, back in the day. So that was pretty fun. But congrats to Salvi and great win yesterday overall. Sweep a doubleheader for against the Indians, and we played like absolute crap against the Indians all year until yesterday. So that was good, too.
Do you think that Salvi will break Jorge Soler's record?
I think he'll at least tie it with 11 games to go. I like his chances. I would love it if he'd get to 50. That would be pretty awesome. But just would rather his name be etched at the top of the leaderboard for the Royals than Jorge Soler, just because of everything that Salvi's done for this franchise. That would be more appropriate, I think.
So he also is throwing out 45% of his base runners.
Well, I didn't realize that, too. I heard you guys talking about that this morning. I mean, we just kind of expect that from him. I mean, that's the crazy thing. He's set such a high bar from a defensive standpoint throughout his whole career, picking guys off, throwing guys out, doing a good job calling games behind the dish. I mean, that's what we've always expected from him. And then the offense continues to come. So to him to continue to do those kinds of things, just a testament to him of what kind of shape that he's gotten him in after the Tommy John thing. We've talked about it on here many times. I think maybe that was a blessing in disguise. And the more that we get from there, I think it was. I mean, that gave him a chance to reevaluate how he works out, how to keep him in shape, how much he missed the game being on the field, and what he's going to do from a longevity standpoint. You hear him talking about it yesterday, just about how much he wants to keep playing. He references Yadier Molina, who's currently in his 19th year in the league and still catching. I think Salvi wants to do something similar. So, awesome.
Let me test your baseball knowledge this morning. If you guys saw my retweet, then remove yourself from the equation. But there was a tweet last night from Paul Hembekides. He tweeted out the single-season home run record for each position now. Who has it? And so we're going to I want to see if you guys can nail him. All right? Oh, you could do it. Okay. I had so much. There's one that you might have a little bit of trouble with, but I feel like between the three of you. Did you guys see this tweet?
It's all MLB, right? Not just AL?
MLB. Did you guys see the tweet?
I did not.
No cheats.
I think I saw you tweet it, but I don't remember any of the names.
I did not.
He's going to act like he didn't see any.
Kick our ass
and then he's
now.
Oh, this.
I'm going to say no, but
this.
I'm going to look wild.
No. Ready? Catcher.
Salvador Perez.
See, guys, that's good. Right,
I win.
If you didn't get that one, then we were going to stop. We're just going to quit. Well, see, some of these are easy, though.
So these are all majors?
Yeah.
All time?
Yes.
Okay.
First base.
Cecil Fielder.
No.
Mark McGuire.
Mark McGuire, 70.
Oh, yeah.
Duh. Got it. Thank you.
Come on.
Oh, God. You're right. You guys didn't see the tweet. Okay, good. Good God.
Hey, two for two.
He's on Babe Ruth.
I didn't even pass him. I thought he had the all-time record.
Okay, so maybe this is a bad idea. I thought we were going to like just breeze through this.
No, it's not a bad idea. Okay. Two for two.
Second base.
Jeff Kent.
No, this is the tougher one.
Oh, Aaron Boone.
Carlos Baerga.
I'll give you one hint. You people our age probably know him better as a manager. He set the record in 1973.
Oh, I'm not going to be three for three.
You could be. You might be. You can do this. He's in two teams' Hall of Fames. He was a three-time World Series champion.
I'm embarrassed that I don't know this.
He won a world championship as a manager in the National League.
Bruce Bochy.
With a team that I would guess partied more than any other World Series champion in the history of baseball.
Davey Johnson.
Davey Johnson.
There you go,
Johnson.
Matt.
Davey Johnson. Man. This guy gives me a little smirk and takes a big sip of his coffee.
Well,
I didn't realize Davey Johnson Davey played Johnson. Second base.
43 bombs and 73 is second base.
I didn't realize he had 43 home runs ever.
All right, shortstop.
A-Rod.
Third base.
Schmidt.
Mike Schmidt?
No. You already answered it.
A-Rod?
Yeah.
A-Rod, too.
Oh, he gets both?
He 57 is a shortstop in 2002. 54 is the third baseman in 2007.
Damn. Screw that guy.
All right.
Well, he had a lot of juice.
Wow. Well, that's kind of the theme coming up here.
Yeah, we got. Funny you should see. Three fourths of the infield was
left field.
Barry Bonds.
Okay, center field.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey Jr. tied with Hack Wilson.
Hack Wilson.
I love Ken Griffey Jr. See, now you guys are going.
I love him.
Right field.
Hack
Babe Ruth.
No. Stick with the theme.
Oh man,
Sammy Sosa.
I almost said Andre Dawson.
The Hawk.
DH.
Big Poppy.
Hey! There you go.
I was going to say Frank Thomas, but he beat me to it.
Say Jim Tomei.
That's pretty good, though, right?
That's good.
So there it is.
Yeah.
And Salvi is on that list.
It's awesome.
It's fantastic.
Davey Johnson, that's the one that's
right,
the outlier.
That's the one, you know.
Yeah.
Well, how many people know Davey Johnson hit 43 home runs as a second baseman? I had no idea.
There's a little trivia for you later on if you want to.
Yeah, it's a good one. I'll use that tonight for sure.
Jack with people. Something else, one other note. I thought you'd enjoy this. Don't ask me why, but this I've become
weird stuff.
Obsessed with this trade over the past couple of years, and I'm sure that Jake is going to be able to guess because I think it's one of the worst trades I've ever seen. And when they did it, I came on the show. I said, this trade is so stupid. What are they doing?
Boss.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So I've talked about this over and over again because the Pirates traded for Chris Archer and they gave up Austin Meadows and Tyler Glasnow. And that's what people just, and that's it, you think, right?
That's bad enough.
Right. And Meadows this year, 25 homers, 100 ribbies for the Rays. That's pretty good, right?
Yep.
Right there, that's worth way more than Chris Archer, who, by the way, plays for the Rays again
and is
on the IL.
Yes.
Tyler Glasnow was one of the best starting pitchers in the league this year until he got hurt. Remember the story about him and having to change his grip and everything else, and he got pissed off, and now he's hurt. He had to have
spider tack,
Tommy John, and so now he's out for the year. But he was their best pitcher for the first couple of months of the season, and so. Right there, like you said, that's bad enough for the Pirates to feel bad about it. And then if you're a Pirates fan, Meadows turned out to be good. Glasnow's hurt. We don't even have Archer anymore, but it can't be. How could it get this worse?
So, I won't throw in a guy.
The player to be named later, like that trade needed a player to be named later, but the player to be named later And you're thinking, oh, okay, so the Pirates got a player to be named later, even they not know. The Rays got a player to be named later, and his name is Shane Baz, who was called up and made his major league debut last night, who right now is ranked number 20 in the MLB pipeline top 100 prospects and put up insane minor league numbers for Tampa, was called up last night, first start against the Blue Jays of all teams, who are setting records for what they're doing at the plate in September. And he, what, five innings, two hits, two runs, bunch of strikeouts, no walks, and gets the win in his major league debut. So another, and it looks like he's going to be like the next big thing as far as pitchers, because like Tampa,
you know what that is? The Rays being the Rays.
What, but what you That's, have to have? You it takes two to tangle.
Some
but, like,
advanced
what are they,
scouting. What? People that liked him within the organization. I throw this guy in there too. All right.
It's just if you're Pittsburgh, you had a like. Oh. You say, well, you know,
at least I got a World Series out of it.
No.
Or a playoff win.
No. Nope.
Oh, wait. No.
I think about Pittsburgh.
So that stupid trade that I keep talking about, now is going to be even worse because this kid comes up. And by the way, just let me tell you. So right, and the Blue Jays are maybe the best hitting team in baseball right now. He goes five innings, two hits, two runs, no walks, five strikeouts last night in his debut. This year in the minors.
Hey, I watched him pitch in the Olympic team, too, if he caught any Olympic baseball. He was one of the younger guys on the Olympic team as well.
He threw 78 and two-thirds innings, 113 strikeouts, and 13 walks. So
that's pretty good.
That's command, I think. And so now they call him up, and then he's going to be a weapon for them.
In the playoffs.
Right, so.
Absolutely.
And it's the same damn trade.
The rich get richer.
Nate Buchady.
Well, it's funny to think about Tampa Bay being the rich, you know, considering like what their payroll is in that division and everything with all the clubs that spend the money they spend there.
Pick him up, by the way, Jake.
Consistently continue to do.
They're rich in other ways than financially, which is saying something. I just think about it from the Pittsburgh Pirates standpoint in that, you know, the Royals, like, Pittsburgh was in the Royals' position a couple of times, right? Where they had good baseball teams that
made it
to the wild card and lost. And you make it to the wild card and lose, you don't really feel like you were in the playoffs, right? Like, I remember that about that A's game. Jake says the best professional sporting event he's ever been to.
Any live event I've ever seen.
I'll never forget the T-shirt. Like, if we don't win that game, we don't play in October. So quit talking about October baseball.
Yeah.
And this is September.
I remember thinking when Ventura gave up the home run that, man, if this team doesn't, like, if you get into the playoffs, at least you have a series. But that wild card thing, you don't have a, because that's what's kind of cool about the baseball playoffs is you're not just, it's just not one game. You get a whole week of
the wild card seems more like game 163 than it does seem like playoffs. Like
if the Royals lose that wild card,
Ned Yost gets fired.
Right. That's what I was about to say. Yeah. I said there's a chance that Ned Yost doesn't manage that team any longer.
I think there's a really good chance that happens.
I was talking to,
if they don't win that game, I have 10 extra years of my life.
but you know, like, if you think about it in those terms, you know, what the Royals gave up to try to get there in the first place, the Will Myers trade, all that stuff, and then the next year, when they give up all these pitchers to bring in Zobrist and bring in Cueto, and none of those guys really, like, who did they give up? They're like, oh, man.
Shawman Manaea turned out to be a good starting pitcher, but not a star.
And injured all the time, right? Like,
I was actually watching him pitch last night.
He's been a good starting pitcher.
Yeah, piece of rotation.
Right? And has never really been able to.
Will Myers is just a good player. Nobody became a superstar like they were supposed
to. You expected that when we traded Manaea. We're like, uh-oh, man, look, we're going to be like, but that got us the World Series. So whatever.
So I was going to say is even if those guys had turned out to be great, we'd be able to forever say, hey, man,
We will be able to say that forever. Yeah.
But then they didn't even turn out to be the kind of guys. If you're, imagine like being Pittsburgh where you don't get any of that postseason success and you have to watch this stuff.
Well, and that's put Pittsburgh in a funk since. Let's be honest. They haven't.
No.
Haven't done anything since then. And even looking forward, you don't see a whole bunch of, because they've been as bad as they've been with all the draft picks they've had high in the, you don't see a whole bunch of their guys being at the top of prospects list, unlike the Orioles. The Orioles are the worst team in the American League right now, but they have the number one position player prospect and the number one pitching prospect in the minor leagues moving forward. So you can see what they've done. Pittsburgh has not done that. So that's I'm excited to watch Boz. I mean, that's as a guy.
Oh, he looked terrific last night.
I enjoyed watching him. You know, like I said, on Olympic team, and
Pittsburgh does not want to watch him.
No,
I can just tell you that.
Turn it over, please.
Brady Singer had a good performance in Game One, but it's like it's okay. Then we talk about that. Then his next performance, he'll get bombed, and so it's.
And
like,
I said it before, man. When he's commanding his stuff, fastball, and then he's got a wipeout breaking ball. You can be a two pitch guy. When he's not commanding his stuff, you get in trouble and he's out over the plate. We saw it the outing before. What did he give up? Did he give up five or six home runs the outing before?
Five.
Five for sure. Somebody said six, but I don't think it was him. I don't think he gave up six. I think he gave up five solos.
Five's enough.
Yeah, five's plenty.
You know?
Better solos in that regard.
Right. It's like Boz last night. He gave up two runs, two solo home runs, but so what?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but Singer has just been, it's been maddening. He gave up five home runs his last start. So, I mean, because you look, he's had some really good outings.
Recently, too.
Yeah, so in August 11th, when he came back from the IL, he went 3 2/3, gave up five earned runs, 10 hits, that was terrible. But 6 2/3, six hits, two runs, two walks, six strikeouts against Houston, and then Houston again, five innings. Seven hits, four runs, one earned. That's the start that drove Nate crazy because he only had one.
Yeah, three of those runs don't count. It doesn't matter that he walked four guys.
Yeah, and so that was not a good outing. But then at Seattle, six innings, three hits, one run, three walks, five strikeouts. You'll take it. Then against the White Sox, seven innings, no runs, five hits, six strikeouts. Then the Minnesota game, 4 2/3 innings, six earned runs, five home runs. But then yesterday, seven innings, six hits, two runs, one walk, seven strikeouts. So three of his last four starts have been excellent. But boy, when he's not on, he just gets rocked. It's like there's no in between.
Well, I mean, you hope the maturity of him moving forward. I mean, they're going to continue to start him. I mean, I've said before that I think long term he might be a bullpen guy just because he's only a two pitch guy instead of a three pitch guy. When he's commanding those two, maybe just fluffs a couple change-ups in there for whatever. When he's commanding the other two, you can see what he can do. And you look at any young pitcher early in their career, their numbers probably aren't as good as the guy. You know, you start getting better at what you're doing. You start commanding your stuff. You have the ability to do this, and you really mature as a pitcher. Hopefully that's the direction that he's going as a starting pitcher. I think you saw it with, I mean, I don't want to use Greg Maddux was a guy early in his career. He threw a lot harder. Didn't have the command that he had, got hit around a little bit. Had a couple years where he had records below 500. I think when Shane Bieber first came into the league, same with him a little bit, but he started to harness his stuff. He's pretty much a two-pitch guy. Good fastball, great breaking ball. You know, hopefully that's what you can project with Brady Singer, you know, moving forward. Continues to maybe get better and use that changeup somewhat more than he's using it now, but when he's out there commanding the stuff that he has the ability. Even last year in 2020, I remember the game the Chiefs were playing, and he's pitching at the same time, and he had a no-hitter through six. I mean, he's gone out and done that and flashed some good stuff. So hopefully for him moving forward, that's what you're going to hopefully expect.
We have Jamie Bluma in studio. Daniel Lynch is the pitcher for tonight's game. Do you guys like the 5-10 first pitch? Does that sit well with you?
No.
I don't mind it. You don't like it?
I don't get to see it.
No. Well,
so
very selfish
I'm in the middle
to say that.
Well, that's why I don't like it.
Perfect enjoy timing for
me. I enjoy it for you guys.
Happy hour baseball. Let's go. Come on.
For you guys, I enjoy it.
Get it done. Actually listen to post game, you know, and not half asleep. Like, okay, I got this.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Jake?
I'm for it.
Just for those reasons?
Early. Sorry, Bluma.
It's fine.
I
always forget that Cleveland's in Eastern time zone.
I used to like to be up late. Now I'm getting old.
Yep.
No, I got yelled at last night because I wouldn't stay up past 10 o'clock to watch a show. And it's like, I'll try, but there's zero chance of me staying up. I can't. You know, it's just, it sucks, but I'm old. And the Manning, after the Manning cast, I didn't have anything else. I just didn't have anything else left in me.
That's it.
You know?
I got to hurry to bed so I can toss and turn all night and not sleep.
That's fun.
That's my...
Jamie Bluma, right, you got Blumapalooza coming up. Tell people all about the big event and what they need to know if they'd like to attend, please.
Blumapalooza number 8 on Saturday at Stonegate Motor Plaza, 207th and 69 Highway. You can get your tickets on Eventbrite, Blumapalooza 2021. You can get your tickets on redwhiteandbluma.org or blumapalooza.com. It's been crazy this week. I know Bod's got his big thing coming up tomorrow with their raffle items and all that stuff, and I made my purchases, but I continue to get great auction items and raffle items for Blumapalooza keep coming in this week. I can't thank everybody for all the different things we're going to have out there. It looks like the weather's going to be good. Outdoor concert with Noe Palma kicking us off at 7 o'clock and then Travis Marvin following up at 9:30. And at the end, those guys will play together a little bit at the end, so that'll be fun. Start out there. We do have a shuttle running from Tanner's on 143rd. It'll be running out to the site all night, just making trips. You can donate. You can buy tickets. You can come out and visit in person. You guys have been before. It's a blast. Weather's looking good, so we hope to have a good turnout and be able to do some great things for some great Kansas City charities because of it.
And tell people some of the charities that you've been involved with so they'll know where some of the money's going.
In the last couple of years, so it started with Folds of Honor. A lot of people know Folds of Honor out of Owosso, Oklahoma, which is my hometown, that helps families that have lost somebody in the line of duty, whether it's a husband or a wife, and help give scholarships to existing family members. That was kind of how it all got started. Since then, I've helped with Warriors Ascent. We got Veterans Community Project. Here in Kansas City, we have another one here in Kansas City called Hero Fund USA that I've helped out recently. They help provide some equipment to first responders and to police departments and fire departments that need some extra equipment. That's been a great one. Variety Kansas City, we all love Deborah Ibrecht here in town. It's been nice to be able to help support her. Live Like Luke Foundation with Ryan Brissett with the loss of his child, him doing great things with that organization. Relentless Pursuit, you know Lee Gibson, you were at the event I did on July 16th. We've done some stuff with them. They do help.
That's the guy that got sidewise with Nate a little bit.
Well, I hope at some point to put those two in a ring together, right, and I'll sell some tickets to that. Mm-hmm. That'll be a bloodbath. But, yeah, just any local Kansas City charity that I can help out with. I mean, it's been so much fun out there over the last 7 years. Thank you to Joe Efforts and Stonegate Motor Plaza for getting on board. Year one, back in 2014, Royals are in the playoffs playing in Baltimore. A little bit of rain, but we ended up having a great event. I can't thank my sponsors enough, Tito's Vodka and Standard Beverage and Crawford Sales out of Olathe. You guys have been great. Sports Radio 810, Nick and Jake's, Tanner's, just and everybody and anybody that helps put this whole thing together and be able to raise some great money for some great organizations, and it's a great time. Like I said, weather's looking good for this year, which was nice last year because it's outside. Get a little evening concert going. We'll have some heaters by the stage, hay bales and chairs and everything set up, and a cool bar, John Poteet with Mr. Beavis Barbecue out there serving food. We will have the Veterans Community Project Mini House on display out there. Thank you, Brian Meyer, and all the guys over at VCP for what you guys do. And just a good time. Looking forward to it. Ready for year number 8. I'm excited to see everybody.
Get tickets?
How can we're going to give away two tickets. I was just talking about Jake today. We'll give away two tickets today, too. Jake can kind of decide how we're going to do that. Thank you for last week we had people guess the first batter I faced in the major leagues. That was Rex Hudler, and he hit a home run off me. So thank you to Colby Jones. That was the winner of last week's tickets. But you can get tickets at the door if you want. Just show up, get tickets at the door. Go to bloomapalooza.com, redwhiteandbluma.org. Both those links will take you to Eventbrite. Eventbrite 2021, Blumapalooza 2021.
Do caller number 8 right now.
Caller number 8 at 913-3810-810.
Beautiful.
Just caller 8. They don't have to answer any question about Jake's career.
How about see if somebody is listening in the first hour, what former Royal was playing for the Monarchs last night?
There you go.
That's a good one,
Nate.
This guy is coming up with some good stuff today. How about the Monarchs winning?
You know what? The way you... Hold on, when he phrased that question, I was on my way in, and I thought...
Don't give it up.
What former Royal was on the field, you said?
Yes.
Well, I said Frank White.
Right.
Playing.
You didn't say that when he first said it.
We're saying it now.
I know, so I was pissed that I didn't get the correct answer.
Right.
So I had to give nothing away.
Did you know he played for the Monarchs?
I did not.
See? A lot of people didn't. All right.
Hey, congratulations to Jay Hendricks and Mark Brandmeier and that whole crew out there, too, man. They've had a great year. I mean, they're crazy. Because they started off just doing okay record-wise, and then all of a sudden,
offensive explosion.
Yeah. Well, we got to ask Wichita State. Gillespie's on that team.
That's right.
Yeah. That's good, guys.
Congratulations to the Kansas City Monarchs for winning the American Association Championship. That's Jamie Bloom at 913-3810-810 to try to win some tickets to Bloomapalooza. We'll be back after this on WHB.